Well, hi again, everybody. It is Bill Crawford along with Damon Witten. It's the Laker Hockey Show on a Tuesday evening, Election Day in the United States. And we got a lot of things to talk about tonight. Damon's going to be leaving us the last part of the show today. And Will Rydell, the defenseman, the sophomore, will be joining us in the second half of our show tonight. So we'll be talking to Will if you've got any questions for him. I think we have a couple of sheets of paper floating around out front here tonight for the audience that's with us. We always start off talking about players of the week each week, and we'll do that right off the top of our show today. The rookie of the week for this past weekend, Jacob Nordquist, the freshman defenseman from Lake Superior State. Game-winning goal on Friday night, 3 points on the weekend. This kid continues to impress. He's a very good player, very smart hockey player, and just a freshman for Lake Superior, but he's rookie of the week in the WCHA. The other players, we got a couple of honorable mentions in there. I would have thought maybe Anthony Nellis could win a player of the week offensively with a five-point weekend, but they went with Charlie Girard from Minnesota State Mankato. The junior had a goal and three assists for 4 points in a Minnesota State sweep of Minnesota. And I guess they were more impressed with Minnesota State's sweep of the Golden Gophers than they were with the Lakers splitting with Michigan. But Anthony Nellis, what a weekend he had. He had 2 goals, 3 assists, 5 points. He was an honorable mention for Offensive Player of the Week honors. Keegan Ford of Michigan Tech, the senior defenseman, had a goal and 2 assists and a sweep over Huntsville. He was the Defensive Player of the Week. And Ate Tolvanen, you're going to see him a lot this year, winning Goaltender of the Week. He's outstanding. Senior goaltender, the young man out of Finland, Northern Michigan University, 35 saves in a 2-0 win at Bowling Green on Saturday night. They got outshot 35-19 and won the game 2-0. He had 24 saves in a 3-1 loss on Friday night. And Nick Kossoff was an honorable mention there. Great performance, I thought, on Friday night. 28 saves in a 5-2 win over Michigan. And let's get to that series right now with the head coach of the Lakers. You win 5-2 Friday night, get beat 5-3 on Saturday night. Give us an assessment of this past weekend.
Well, what a great weekend of hockey. Obviously, Great Lakes State weekend means so much to the university and in the town. So it was great to get the Taffy Able and see a full building. And, you know, boy, did our players respond. There was a tremendous energy coming as we stepped on the ice Friday night. I thought our guys responded extremely well. I thought it was a great hockey game, up and down, physical. Certainly Friday night, I thought we were able to, stamp our will on the game and dictate the way the game was played. And I thought we had a real good effort. I'm grading the game out, we gave up 8 grade A's against a team that's a high-powered offense against Michigan. That's tremendous. So I thought our attention to detail defensively was really, really good on Friday night. Probably got a little bit of, easy offense at times. The couple goals there that I'm sure, Hayden Levine would like back and, made some good plays, though, but generated a lot. So we did a really good job. Anthony Nellis, as you mentioned earlier, what a performance. And he was elite, and you need your best players to do that. So Anthony had a great game and, a huge impact to get that big win. So Friday night, a real good effort. I thought Saturday, a couple moments that really had a big impact on the game, starting off the opening shift. Braden Gelsinger actually had a great hit. You watch it back, there's no penalty there. It was a shoulder into the Michigan defenseman's chest. They actually went in and reviewed it to look for head contact, and Braden's, 5'10", 5'11", hit about a 6'2", 6'3", guy and kind of buckled him. But all of a sudden, we're killing a penalty 30 seconds into the game, and, it takes some emotion out of the game and some energy out of our team there. So I thought that was unfortunate in a call that, wasn't justified. And then we give up, 2 goals within the first 12 minutes, and it just took a crowd out of the game a little bit and, gave them some momentum and not great plays on our end. We had a bad read to give up a 2-on-1 and then a bad turnover to give up a goal that Merrick's had no chance on. I thought Merrick's, couldn't do much. He was 2 odd man rushes they scored on. They scored on a breakaway. They scored on that turnover that was a kind of a backdoor across precise pass. You can't spot a team like that. Two easy goals. You can't give up five. So as good as we were defensively and as sharp and clean as we were Friday, we are a little bit the opposite of on Saturday. So we fought back. I thought we did a good job. Scored a tremendous faceoff goal with about 15 seconds left on Friday, or I'm sorry, on Saturday, to make it 2-1, to add some life and energy back in the building. We came out, I think, our opening or second shift of the second period. We tied up 2-2. All of a sudden, we got some momentum and some energy going back into it. So I thought we did a good job fighting back. Third period, we hit a post early on. You know, could have been a little bit different story, but we were able to take it to them third period and then give ourselves a chance, but we just couldn't get that next goal to tighten it up and give ourselves a chance. But a great weekend of hockey, good opponent. It was great to have Michigan up and to test ourselves against one of the best teams in the country. And I thought we were pretty darn good overall. So happy with that and learned a little bit more about our hockey team.
Yeah, that was to be a question too. You said after the game on Saturday night, we learned a lot. And I think some of the players said that too. So what did we learn out of that? And what are we working on this week? We've got Alaska coming in here. I'd like to save that a little bit to talk about the Nanooks in the second part of the program here tonight. But what do we learn when we get beat 5-3 on our home ice?
Well, you learn from both games. It's not just that Saturday night. It's both games you learn from. And again, I think to be successful, it's about being great defensively, no matter who you're playing. And so Friday night, you can use that film. You can use, as we grab guys and watch film one-on-one or with their lines or with D pairings, you show how much we own the ice. We didn't give them any space. We didn't give them any room. We were constantly in their hip pockets. And against a team like that, that's high-end offense, you could see their frustration. You could hear their frustration because we didn't give them any space and time. And then Saturday, as you mentioned, Bill, it's a little bit the opposite. We give them more room. We give them more time. We turn pucks over. We allow them to play the game they want, to transition and attack and play with a lot of pace. So you learn to manage pucks and how critical that is. But we can play with anybody, and that was good to know. Obviously, it's been a great start for us. We haven't had a lot of adversity early on. We've fought back in some games. We've trailed late and done some things that way, but to play against a team like that has tremendous pace, that has tremendous skill, and have those games, we can build some confidence. And at the same time, we know we've got to get back to the drawing board and improve in some areas to continue to develop and grow.
Great crowds both games, and I know it's Great Lakes Day weekend, and it is Michigan, and Michigan's always going to be a big draw. They always have been here, but 3,000 plus on Friday night and 3,875. I think that's the biggest crowd that I've seen in our building.
Yeah, no, it was awesome. And again, you step out Friday night, you could feel it. You could hear it around campus, Great Lakes State Weekend is going to be that. There's a buzz. There's alumni back. There's events going on. Obviously, we've talked a lot about Darren and Mark, having them in our building and then be able to spend some time with our team. So it was awesome to step out there. And then Saturday, like you said, it was tremendous. We want to thank everybody. We fed off that. It would have been great to complete the sweep and reward those fans who were there. But it was a great weekend of hockey, and our fans had a big, big impact on the way we played. And, Mel talked a little bit about it in his post games, and we haven't followed up yet. I don't know if we'll get a chance this week or next week, but I'm sure we'll talk. But I think they enjoyed it, and they learned a lot about their team. Not only was it good for us, but I think Mel leaves here feeling good that they had to come in and play in a real tough environment against a heavy team, a physical team. They got better because of it as well. So really appreciate our crowd, our fans. Hoping we can be close to that and replicate that as we continue on with a great start to our season this weekend.
We pointed out in the pregame on Saturday night, I always kind of watch what's going on across the way because it's so easy to see over there. Mel was really demonstrative in talking to the officials before the game. He was making all sorts of comments, and he was slapping his hands, and he was reading them the riot act over there to one of the linesmen and one of the referees. And I thought, wow, what's going on here? But that's probably a coaching ploy, trying to get a call here and there maybe out of them, and something he was complaining about maybe from Friday night when he got beat.
Yeah, starting where it was the linesman too, and I thought that was interesting. But the one thing I didn't like, and he's a great coach, and they're going to do a tremendous job. They already have. Friday's game was almost 3 hours. It was unbelievable how long it was. And as we evaluate reffing crews. We turn evaluations every week, and that was just the one comment. Like, you know, let's play hockey. You know, we got a full building. People want to see the action. They don't want to watch the refs skate over and talk to the bench every time. And so I just thought too much of that, trying to work the refs too much from their end. But I thought it was a solidly called game. You knew what to expect. There was a pretty good standard set, and you know, let's play hockey.
Well, there were a lot of things to me that were a little bit different on a Saturday night. I thought Michigan was much tighter checking. There were a lot of sticks on hands, sticks on gloves, holding sticks, getting in tight with people. And, you know, I was so impressed with the line that they have, Norris with Slaker and Lockwood. That's a pretty good line. They scored, five of their goals on the weekend. They did almost all their scoring. And yet I thought we did a good job. I mean, even though we didn't play the best game in the world Saturday night, we lost it by 2 goals. It was a 5-3 hockey game.
Yeah, and that's the 2 goals you spot them, right? We gave up the 2-on-1 and the bad D pinch, and then the turnover just inside of our blue line. And Colin Sockerman was coming off. He had just blocked a shot, and he was a little bit injured there trying to get off, and we kind of didn't have the desperation to just chip and advance that puck. But you're right, we fought back, and they were tighter checking for sure, and you know, that was part of it. Again, I think that penalty right away had a real big impact on us. You know, we were fine. Gelsinger took a big hit in front of their bench, and then he went to return it and laid their defenseman out, and it was a clean hit. And but all of a sudden now you kill 2 minutes, you're on your heels a little bit, you give them a little boost. And so I thought that gave them some momentum early, and they were able to kind of build on that, and then we made a little bit too easy on them. But that line is, you know, I'm not sure we'll see a better line. There'll be some comparable. Mankato has some guys that are near that level, but you know, Norris can shoot the puck as good as anybody at the NCAA level. He'll be an NHLer, and they were a handful, and we did a lot of things well for them, and then gave them a little bit too easy offense, and they were able to capitalize.
Yeah, they're fast too. They've got some really fast forwards. They're very thick players to play against. They hit you constantly, but they actually beat us down the ice a few times on Saturday night, where they didn't do that on Friday night. We were pretty much kept them bottled up. We didn't let them get away. And, you know, the one goal Norris scored, the second one was right in the roof on a breakaway off a turnover at their
short-handed
blue line. So, yeah.
Yeah, we had a turnover on our power play. And, again, I thought, and we gave up another one later on. So, you know, we hadn't seen pressure like that on our power play yet. And, you know, I thought it was good for us to go through that and learn that. We're going to see some teams in our league going into conference play that do pressure that way. And we have to be able to adjust and handle that. You know, on the one group, we do have 2 or 3 freshmen out there. So we have some youth there. And, you know, the goal was not scored against that group either, though. Again, a turnover. We tried to make a kind of a cute, softer pass through a body, through Norris, instead of being heavy and making a heavy play in a simpler play. So that came back to bite us there, because again, you know, we had a push. I think it was a tie game. Was that the third goal? And so it gave them some momentum and some life once again there. So got to manage things a little bit better, especially against a team like that.
Yeah, I guess that's all part of the learning process at this point, although I thought they kind of outskated us a little bit more Saturday than they did on Friday night, that we were right with them on Friday. That was a really great game. I mean, I can't think, there was maybe one or two blatant mistakes. And, you know, in a hockey game, you're going to make mistakes.
Sure.
It's like life, you know. But I thought we overcame stuff and really played well on Friday night. And then Saturday, we looked a little bit more like we were maybe mid-season the last few years, where we're just not playing up to the level that maybe we can play. So it was a tough game on Saturday night. I thought to lose it after the way they played on Friday night, but now bounce back. We got Alaska coming in this weekend, a team that hasn't won much thus far this season, but they played some tough teams.
Yeah, well, and before we move on, somebody mentioned that there's an article on Flow Hockey today,
yes,
quoting Steven Ruggiero, and it was a great read, you know, mostly about Friday night, and some of it was Steven's path, you know, from the national program and a draft pick through some injuries and a transfer, and, you know, he was teammates with a lot of those kids out of the national program at Michigan, so it was a big weekend for him. And, you know, I'm not sure if emotionally we did have a touch of a letdown. I didn't sense Friday post game or Saturday pregame. I thought we are right. I know I you know, watching the game back and hearing your call, you and I had talked pregame about maybe putting some fresh legs
yeah.
in. I'm not sure that had a big impact on it, but certainly last week we thought we would get some fresh guys on, and maybe that would have helped. I mean, typically when you're doing that, you know, Max Humans and Braden Gelsinger and Gage Terrell and Nellis, they're not coming out of the lineup, your top six guys. So it's more some depth guys that are maybe coming in or out. So maybe that would have been a good coaching move to get some fresh legs in. But I think maybe emotionally, and Steven talked about it, we had a lot in that game, and maybe could address it a little bit better there. But there was a lot of emotion in that game, and you're gonna have some ups and downs, but give them credit. That's a good hockey team, and they had a large part in that Saturday win for their behalf. So a good weekend overall. You brought up UAF and moving forward, and I think that's been really our big issue. If you look at their record, it's been a tough go. They've had a coaching change, and they've struggled to score a little bit, but their schedule's been good. They went to Arizona State. In today's polls, Arizona State was a 21st ranked team. They were top team receiving votes outside the top 20. St. Cloud went up there, played them. I think St. Cloud's number two in today's polls. They went to Denver. We did that last year. We know what it's like playing there. Denver's number five in the nation. They tied them. Denver's 5-0-1. Their only tie of the year against Fairbanks. And then they went to Mankato. Mankato's third in the nation. So their schedule's been unbelievable. They lost 3-1 one night at Mankato. They're coming off a bye, so they've had a chance to kind of collect themselves. Got 2 weeks of preparation on the things we do. And it's going to be a really difficult series. They're doing some things really well. They haven't been rewarded yet, but the schedule, they've gone through a gauntlet, and they're very well prepared, and they're going to be hungry and desperate. So we're going to have to get better and learn from this weekend and be ready to play.
Yeah, it's going to be a test. We don't know that much about this team. They don't have any names back that I really recognize in the way of good players from the past, but there'll be a lot of blue and yellow gold in the building on Friday and Saturday night.
Yeah, no matter you're wearing blue and gold, you're rooting for one of the teams. But no, they do. They have Riker Lears back as a senior. Coberstein's a draft pick from Montreal. So there's some players there. Again, our theme seems to continue. Going back to Providence, Huntsville, Michigan with Quinn Hughes, their best player has been a freshman for them. Steven Jandrick, a real talented freshman defenseman out of Vernon, the BCHL. He's very talented. He's very dangerous, and he's leading their team in scoring. So once again, we'll see a real talented defenseman that we have to be very cognizant of and ready to match up and shut down.
Okay, we've got some questions from the fans who are with us here tonight, and we've got more to talk about from my list of stuff as well. But we're going to take a break in the Laker Hockey Show. Bill Crawford, Damon Whitten, we'll be right back with more from the Antlers on ESPN 1400. Okay, we are back at the Antlers. Always enjoy being here on a Tuesday night. Damon Whitten along with Bill Crawford, and talk a little bit more about the Michigan series. We've got a lot of questions here from the fans tonight, more than we usually get, so let's get into that before the coach sneaks out of here on us and doesn't have to answer any of these questions. Did Michigan play more of a, and this is kind of like insider type stuff, but did they play more of an east-west game than a north-south game on Saturday compared to Friday?
Well, first of all, this isn't the week I'd be looking to dodge questions. I'm sure there'll be some weeks coming up that I'll be looking to dodge questions out of here. But from night to night, Bill, was a question?
Yeah,
play a little simpler. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, they are who they are. You watch Quinn Hughes, and his talent is off the charts. Maybe the best skater and the best skilled defenseman we'll have. But he's probably trying to do a little bit too much early on as a high pick and things like that. So I still think his game was pretty consistent. They did push the pace a little bit more on their breakouts of the neutral zone offense. They really they started to about midpoint or second period or mid second period Friday night, start to stretch two wingers and just really start to rocket passes up. So a little bit more north south and then try to tip it, go 200 feet. We kind of made a little bit of adjustment for our defenseman not to pinch or bite down on that, to lay off and be able to retrieve some pucks and track out. So maybe a little bit at times, but they want to play fast. And you watch anybody right now throughout the NHL and most places, everybody's trying to play north. Everybody's trying to play as fast as they can and transition pucks. So there's not a whole lot different. It's pretty standard for the way most teams are playing right now.
The thing that was really impressive about Hughes and some of the other D-men, but especially him, he and Ciccone, I think they could stay on the ice for like 60 minutes. Do they ever get tired, those guys?
Well, yeah, they didn't. I mean, they play them. They ride those guys for sure. I think probably part of it's I'm not sure their depth in that position is what it is some years. And when you have some high end guys like that, you want to ride them. So they do, and those guys can handle it. So it's nice to have that option.
Yeah, they're a pretty good team, and they're going to play Notre Dame this weekend. That'll be interesting because
Yeah.
game one's Friday night in Ann Arbor. I don't know if they're both there, if they go back to Notre Dame on Saturday or what, but that'll be an interesting to watch on the scores. Now, more questions from our fans who are here at the Antlers with us tonight. Yuki Murray, Mura, is he hurt? Is there a reason why he hasn't been in the lineup? I thought he played in Huntsville, though.
Well, it's just depth. He missed some time early on and didn't make the trip to Merrimack. He wasn't able to go out there, but since then he's been ready and he's played well. And I think that's we kind of hit that, I think, Saturday pregame and in other times. Sitting a week ago last Tuesday, Wednesday, as a staff, we definitely felt like we were gonna, get some fresh legs in the lineup and guys who want to play like Yuki and Miro and Ian Johnson, who's practiced well. And so that was kind of our plan moving forward. But then you go out and win 5-2 and you execute at a high level and you have everybody played well. So who do you take out and what do you want to do? So it's you're not just evaluating one guy. Yes, you're looking at Yuki or everybody else, but Alex Ambrosio and Anthony Nellis, they have a say in this equation. They don't want to come out of the lineup and they're trying to play hard and desperate and hold on as well. So no, it's just it's a depth issue. And we've got guys who can play, and Yuki's a guy that would probably be a good matchup against Michigan because he is quick and fast. And again, I think 2, 3 weeks ago we would have said he'd been in the lineup, but some guys have done a good job and haven't given him the opportunity to come back in. So now we're finally suffered that first loss, and we'll look at a couple things, and it might be a time to make a couple changes there. But it's just him trying to get back in, and then who's going to give him that opportunity to grab a spot?
Yeah, most of the point production so far this season is coming off those top two lines, the Erickson line and the Cuglietta line. Is there a concern there that these third and fourth lines aren't producing points just yet?
No, not a concern. I think if you look at the Ambrosio line, they've done a good job with kind of what they're tasked to do. They match up against other top lines at times and are tasked to shut them down. And then they've also done a good job of flipping momentum, going in and having heavy shifts, making the other team defend. It's allowed us to flip momentum and get some line changes by grinding teams out and allowing maybe the Hampus line to get out and maybe be the benefactors of them wearing some teams out. That's part of it. I think when you look at the Calder line with Viet and Guy the past couple weeks there, that's three freshmen on a line, and we talked a lot as a staff that probably in a perfect world, and at some point we might have to break up one of those so-called top two lines to add some experience down there. But I think we can be patient. They've played really well. They've generated some good chances. Plus minus is a very flawed stat, and I know one or two of those guys, they stepped on the ice as maybe the shorthanded breakaway happened or the 2-on-1 or the one line change of their second goal, I believe it was. We had a line change going on and they step on and the puck's in the back of their net. So I don't think that's very indicative of their play at times. And they have the ability to contribute offensively. We're 4 or 5 weeks into this and these guys are still kind of adjusting to college hockey. So and having said that line was incredible today. They had two or three goals, were really good. And so every day they're adjusting more and more, and a chance to play against a team like Michigan and get that experience will pay dividends. So no worries, no concerns. We do think we can get more from them, and we will.
I think I agree with you on that too. That Calder line with the other two freshmen, Violette and Owen Guy, they've been playing as we play. They get better and better every game. You can see them get a little bit more relaxed, and it's tough. I mean, you come in out of you're playing in the North American League or the U.S. Junior Hockey League, and you got to play D1 against U of M, and it's not easy.
That's not easy, no. And just learning everything. Some of these guys haven't been away. Owen Guy's not been away from home much. He's making an adjustment. I think Ashton's a different set of circumstances. He's coming back home, and there's a whole different set of pressures. He's probably got to grab 20 tickets per weekend and take care of everybody. And so every Tuesday, Wednesday, you're scrambling looking for tickets. So he's got a different pressure. He's gone away and played well, but he's got to adjust to being back home. And again, there's different pressure there for him. And Pete, yeah. that, coming in at Ottawa. So, everybody's going through different things. We have an overabundance of centers, and so we've got Owen Guy playing out of position on the wing, and so he's making the adjustment that way as well, and we're tinkering with a couple of things that way as well. So, no worries. It's been a good line, and, they're learning, and there's been moments where, yes, we need them to be better defensively, but they're also adjusting to this level and doing a good job of that.
Great Lakes State weekend. We talked about it a little bit. It was really busy. I mean, there's so much stuff going on, and I know yourself, on a Saturday afternoon, you'd like to maybe be taking a nap or relaxing or thinking about the game that night, but you had to be at the Hall of Fame induction, which takes you away for a while. But it is an interesting weekend and a lot of things going on. There was a women's walk, planetarium shows, fun runs. I mean, there was something going on every hour, and it was busy, but it also is why so many people were there.
Yeah, and it's great. It does affect your typical preparation, because we're pretty routine people, and as athletes, superstitions and coaches and things like that. So we don't like to disrupt our routine. I can go back to when I played. I know exactly what I did. It hasn't varied a whole lot. So it is disruptive to that, but I wouldn't change it. What a great experience to listen to the inductees. I missed the last one because I had to get back to the rink, but was able to hear Darren and Mark, and just to hear them talk about their time here. Saturday morning, they were able to come in and make some time in their schedules as they were trying to see people and do everything, and both those guys addressed the team, and it was tremendous, and I think Mark texted or emailed, it might have been today, and just said, I think later that night, Saturday night somewhere, he bumped into some of our guys and just had great conversations and was really positive about the maturity of our team and their appreciation for Mark and Darren to take the time to address them, talk to them what Lake State meant. So, that disruption is well worth it to have those guys around to hear what they had to say. Obviously all of our guys dreamed to play at the level those guys played at, and just to get a few moments was really good. So I'll take that disruption anytime and really enjoyed that experience.
Yeah, it's a big weekend, and we have several of those during the season, but that's the real big one where we have all sorts of things going on, and it went really well. We had good weather for the most part. The tailgater before the game on Saturday went off really well, and what a crowd, 38-75, and I kept looking around the building. I didn't see any empty seats anywhere.
Yeah, it was awesome, and again, I thought it was really good hockey. The only bad part is the right team didn't win, but entertaining hockey, two talented teams, and going toe-to-toe and up and down, and so there was pace, there was physicality. I just thought a real well-played series. Again, the only thing that would change is that score on Saturday night, but a great weekend of hockey, and again, just really appreciative of the support, showing the players and coming out, and I just want to encourage everybody to do it again this weekend. We're back home, and we're sitting 5-1 or 7-1, and our players have put a lot into this, so get your friends gathered up and get out there Friday night.
Yeah, I don't think there's any doubt about it. I talked to enough of the players on this team over the years. A huge crowd makes a big difference. They'd much rather play in front of a lot of people, even on the road. When they're all against you, it's still more exciting to have a big crowd.
Well, and you can, and I'm sure Michigan's the same way. Again, I think part of, Mel and I will connect here shortly, but I think there's going to be a ton of value for his team to come in here, have that student section back there, have her full building. They're a better team for having come up here, and that's important for us as we schedule non-conferences moving forward against teams like Michigan and whoever else. We want them to come to our building and know they're going to get a great game on the ice and pace and skill and clean, but a good crowd and into it. That makes them a better hockey team. So I thought it was a really good weekend of hockey, and as a fan, I'm assuming it was very entertaining. And I know as a coach, it was in a lot of ways, even though you're kind of looking to make adjustments and watching for structure. It was a great hockey game with a great crowd. So thanks again.
All righty, we're going to take a break here on the Laker Hockey Show. Damon will come back here for a few minutes in the second half. We got to talk about some things here before he gets out of here. Will Rydell will join us down the stretch. Bill Crawford, Damon Whitten talking Laker hockey. We'll be right back to the Antlers on ESPN 1400. Okay, we're back at the Antlers on a Tuesday evening, East Portage Avenue, dark out. it's that time of year. It's dark out at what, 5 o'clock now? You know,
oh, the little fall back. Yeah, it's tough to come out of the rink for that.
No fun. Anyway, let's talk recruiting. We always get recruiting questions every week, how things are going there. And I know you were out west a few weeks ago when we had the week off and you got a chance to actually go do some actual recruiting. Usually as head coach, you don't do all that much of that. You let the assistants go, and they've been out as well. So what are we looking for? How are we doing? Do we have any commitments? I know we can't use names yet until they've signed NLIs, but do we have anybody who's decided they want to be a Laker?
Well, yeah, I mean, I should be more prepared for this every week because I think I get it every week. But, you know, we've talked in the past about some of our guys who have signed. And, you know, with a small senior class, you're kind of in that weird holding position. You know, you want to be active. You want to get guys just talking in between the breaks. So that, you know, the way it's going, some schools don't care anymore. They've got 35, 40 guys committed. You know, there's no way humanly possible they can honor those commitments and those scholarships. But, you know, we would prefer not to operate that way. So our list is one of the smaller ones across the country, but we only have four seniors. So we're not anticipating an overly large class coming in. Now, you know, what happens? Who signs and, you know, who maybe leaves because they're not happy with ice time, things like that. So we've seen that the last couple of years with Holtz and Bendulis and Morgan and Hedrick. So, you know, we want to be as prepared as we can be, but you know, we like where we're at. Our guys that are signed and committed, we've got the 398s forwards that will kind of be the one for one with Nellis, Cuglietta, and Terrell, and all players that we're happy with where they're at in their development. We think they can come in and continue to help us move along and win hockey games, and you know, add a lot off the ice as well. So you know, so it's a little bit patient right now because of that. Those of you who follow it closely would have seen, I think, Twitter last night or the day before, we got a new verbal commitment that obviously I can't comment on the name, but so we continue to you know, go through that process and look for the right student athlete who fits our team on and off the ice. So we're always looking and always active, and you know, we'll get a little chance here coming up. We'll kind of have all hands on deck the next couple of weeks. That Bowling Green trip, we'll be able to pop around a little bit. There's some stuff going around the Detroit area to get us out there. The North American League tender process just came out, so we've got a lot of coaches calling us trying to tender some of the verbal guys and, you know, trying to help players decide which team to kind of, you know, choose or what's the best route for their development. So that process is going on, but it's always moving. You know, it's advisors daily basis. You know, Sunday night was on the phone late 2-3 times with advisors, with players. So you're just always working, you know. And again, today's world, there's going to be so many guys that are not going to certain schools because there's no way they have room for them. So some of those schools are you know, way over committed, and they're going to cut 2, 3, 4, 5 of those guys in the next month, maybe 2-3 months from now. And it's always nice to have some space and some money available late for when those guys come available, because they're still good players. Some of them don't totally cut them. What happens a lot now is, hey, you know, Bill Crawford, we're going to give you a 75%, and then your final NLI comes.
I'll take it.
Yeah, well, and you know, you can sign an NLI multiple times. Well, it's going to come, and it's going to say 25%. Now you might not want to take it because it's not what you agreed upon. So there's a lot of that going on. It's an ugly scene right now, but so it's not bad to have space and money available late, because a lot of good players are still looking for a home.
Yeah, it's a never-ending question. We'll always talk about recruiting on here, what we're looking for. I get more questions, just, you know, texts and emails on that than anything else. That and the next one, injuries. And I don't know if we came out, you know, a couple guys went off during the games this past weekend, looked like they might have been shaken up, but they came right back on the ice. They didn't miss a shift. So I'm assuming everybody's pretty much healthy at this point, although we've had a couple of guys get dinged up so far this season and miss a few games here and there. So how do we stand there getting ready to play Alaska?
Well, you said it well, pretty much healthy. So we're pretty much healthy. We're close, got an issue or two we'll kind of keep an eye on throughout the week, and it might prevent us from you know, a decision or two. We might be held up medically on a decision or two, but we're pretty much healthy, and you know, we're just prepping, you know, and it's more about that competition and trying to find those right pieces to make sure we've got, you know, 13 forwards who give us the best chance to win, and then the 60 or 70 that are ready to play and have us at that 8 grade A's being great defensively.
Yeah, the interesting thing going on now too with this extra player you can dress every game, you know, I guess it's helpful to have that. We had 13 forwards dressed both games against Michigan, and I guess the extra guy was Brendan McKay, but I thought he did a really good job Friday night. You got him in the game a little bit more on Saturday night, and we just didn't have the wherewithal there to get that game won. But
yeah, it's kind of interesting. You know, talking to guys today, we have a leadership council on the team comprised of our captains and then some representation from each class. And, you know, had a chance post-practice just to kind of gauge them, how they feel physically, you know, how workouts are going, how the travel's been going, how their bodies feel. And really the last two Saturdays, you know, we were trailing and had to score a couple third period goals. So we kind of went down to third lines, and, you know, those top two lines were rolling, and we were kind of spotting guys around. And then this Saturday trying to climb back into that game and knot it up, you know, we shortened the bench again there. So, you know, you're jumbling lines, and then that 13th forward does make it interesting. You know, it gives you some flexibility there. And I think at times, you know, we've not maybe gotten some guys the time they need. So it is challenging there, but again, we like our depth. You know, we can roll four lines, and we have four lines who can play and contribute. And so it gets a little bit hard. And I think sometimes we're taking some minutes away. You mentioned Quinn Hughes and, Ciccone earlier on. You know, you want to ride your top guys and make sure they're in a rhythm and in a flow. And, you know, sometimes I'm not sure I'm doing a good enough job there because, you know, because we do like our depth and trust all those lines to earn minutes and play minutes. So we'll continue to monitor that and see where we're at moving forward.
Yeah, we mentioned already tonight Yuki Miura having a little difficulty getting into the lineup. Yuki had speed. He's got some good stick skills. He's not a heavy player, though. I can't see Yuki being real effective against a Michigan anyway because of the lack of size there. But, you know, he could come in and give you some minutes here and there. We've got some other players who can't get into the lineup right now. I'm thinking in particular of Miro Muka. He's had difficulty since early getting in there, and he was a fairly good scorer when he played in the North American League. But is there a chance he's going to see action maybe this weekend?
Well, I would have liked to get those guys in last weekend. So yeah, there's a chance. And you know, it's not so much that they're not practicing well or playing well. Ian Johnston, same thing. You know, it's not a reflection of their you know, poor practices or poor evaluations. It's more a reflection of the guys who have been playing and who have gotten in the lineup of playing well and not relinquishing a spot, or, you know, having such an off game or a bad game to get pulled out and a chance to lose a spot. So, you know, again, those evaluations don't happen in a bubble. You're not just looking at Yuki on his own. You're looking at Yuki in relation to some other guys and the way they're playing. So it's challenging. And, you know, we've got better depth than we anticipated up front, and it's making it difficult for some guys to get back in. You know, having said that, you know, Miro and Melvin are freshmen, and, you know, they can come along and keep developing. And some of those guys, you're saying, you know, this is a four-year window for a guy like Miro Muka. You know, you're not looking at 1 week or 1 month. This is 4 years, you know, and you've got to, you know, somehow kind of grasp that a little bit, keep playing desperate and hungry, but also realize this is a long development curve. So, you know, we're trying to manage it, and, you know, we're looking for some opportunities to play some of those guys.
Well, we talked at the top tonight too, Damon, about Jacob Nordquist being named Rookie of the Week. That's a good honor for a first-year player, and I thought he played really well all weekend. He reminds me sometimes a little bit. I haven't seen a defenseman who has that play where he wheels in the zone and goes around behind the net, comes out the other side, makes a play since Owen Hedrick left here. But he's a good offensive mind, and he made a great play on that goal where the puck bounced out in front and Nellis put it in.
Yeah, he really has a really high understanding of the way the game develops and works around him. You know, just to understand, to see lanes, to anticipate where pucks are going to be go, and also to anticipate where he should go to get those pucks and give a chance to create offense or where a passing lane is going to open up. So really, it's a special talent that he has just to process the game at such a high level, and, you know, that makes him very successful. And then on top of it, he's got a good skill set. He can skate, and so yeah, he's been very good, well deserving of the honor of Rookie of the Week. A little disappointed Anthony Nellis didn't get Player of the Week. I thought he was deserving. He, I think, third nationally, led the WCHA in points. You know, a great weekend for Mankato sweeping Minnesota, but I thought Anthony was deserving. It's not a team award, it's an individual award, but that's all right. Nellis can get six this weekend and then next weekend. So some real good efforts early on from our team, and, you know, proud of where we're at and the way we're playing, and now the challenge is, again, we've got to get better. We're not content. Our guys are hungry. They've been desperate, and we've got to continue to grow.
You know, that's another guy off to a great start. Before we let you get out of here, Damon, Anthony Nellis, he's piling up points right now. He's picked up right where he left off late last year. He had a great second half last season. He's a great kid. I think we all pull for him in a big way. And he's in the right spot at the right time this year. He's putting in goals from goal mouth scrambles, and he's been around where he needs to be. And Diego, I thought he had a really good game Saturday night. He was probably our best player. He was constantly harassing the Michigan players, stealing pucks, making plays, scored a big goal for us too.
Yeah, well, and I think Diego, you know, there's a little bit of frustration there because his point total isn't where he'd like it to go. And you know, you've got to be careful as a player that you're not basing your game on points. You know, you have to play the right way, and then typically the points come. So he's been so valuable to us in all phases of the game, 5-on-5, power play, penalty kill. Been just dynamite on faceoffs. He's been so good on faceoffs, and you know, if you watch closely, you'll see him out in so many key situations. The faceoff goal that we scored to make it 2-1. Diego had a great second effort, and you know, without him, and then he scored it too. But he won the draw with his second effort, put it right on the stick of Max Humitz, who faked the shot over to Nordqvist, and then Diego got the rebound. So he's been really good, and I think one of the things that maybe the points don't reflect for Nellis is the timing of these points. You know, we're down a goal and he gets that one to tie it, or we're tied and he gets the game winning assist or goal. So he's really, as a senior, understood how important he is to flip momentum, to get us back in the game, to get us that separating goal. So really, really impactful and doing a great job.
It's all because of where he goes and stands when he tapes his stick pregame in front of the press box in that one spot. It's all part of that hockey player superstition.
That routine. That routine's important to these guys, so make sure you don't mess up his spot up there.
Yeah, it's good. Anyway, he's a great kid, and I hope he does well this year. Damon, thanks for being here. We'll let you and Joey get out of here. We'll move Will Rydell in for the final portion of the show tonight. We'll be right back with that final portion from the Antlers on ESPN 1400. Okay, we're down to the final 10 minutes of our show tonight, and joining us here, we have a player on each week, at least we have for the last 4 weeks, and Will Rydell's joining us tonight. He wears number 3. He's a sophomore, and I think the first thing to ask Will Rydell about is how he wound up at Lake Superior State when he's from Greensboro, North Carolina. We don't get a lot of Southern boys playing hockey up here in the North Country, so what's the story on your background?
Yeah, pretty much from North Carolina, and made the transition to prep school and when I was 16, and that made it easy to kind of get into juniors, and from juniors I kind of just got recruited up here and you know, kind of found a second home.
Yeah, I thought you played really well. I told you that off mic here on Friday night in particular. It might have been the best game you played here at Lake Superior, and you know, you kind of got thrown into the fire last year. You were supposed to be brought along slowly and not have to play every game. You played 33 games last year for Lake Superior State, so you learned a lot. That was a baptism under fire, literally.
Yeah, it was awesome. I mean, it was obviously hard to get kind of put into that role right away, and obviously with some injuries early on, it was kind of forced on me. But I love the role, and I love, you know, being able to play as many games as I did.
Well, generally you play with Tyler Anderson, another big guy who's a sophomore like you, so you played together for the most part last year too. And it's kind of tough when you come in and you got to play right away when you maybe didn't expect to. You maybe thought you were going to come along a little slower, but then you get thrown in with another freshman too, so another 2 year out there trying to figure out what's going on.
Yeah, no, it's fun kind of trying to figure it out between us all, but it's you know, it's always a challenge, but it's been good. And I think we've done well the first 7 games.
Now, what's the difference between the Lakers Friday night and then Michigan and the Lakers on Saturday night? We win 5-2, we lose 5-3. We're not out of the game really on Saturday, but it just seemed like such a different game.
Yeah, you know, I think Michigan came out with a lot of energy, and I think they came out with more jump, and I think you know, we just didn't respond in time, and I think, you know, a lot of the goals they scored were kind of on us. I think, you know, they you know, we couldn't, our turnovers kind of cost them. You know, they didn't really earn a lot of goals against us. We kind of gave them what they had. So
yeah, it was a tough night, and you know, great crowd, 38-75. Now, we tell people all the time, the players love a big crowd. I don't care if you're on the road and it's a big crowd, or if you're at home and it's a big crowd, because that's what you're there for, is entertainment, and you love that. You tell everybody what it was like to play at home this past weekend.
Yeah, it's amazing, and the energy and stuff like that, coming out even, just for warm-ups and stuff like that, seeing everybody out there and, having the support of the town is unbelievable, and it's, it just makes it that much more fun to come out and, compete, and, it just almost gives us something to play for too.
Now, do the players on this team have a lot of friends who are students at Lake Superior? I mean, other than hockey players or other athletes, do you have just regular students who come out and support you that you all know?
Yeah, definitely. I think we have the Blue Liners group as well, and Laker Legion. And I know I'm a big part of Laker Legion as well, and getting close with some of the people that aren't athletes but want to be more involved with everything like that. And it's we kind of get people involved that way too, and it's good.
Now you've been here, you're in your second year, so you've been around a little bit and you know the campus and you know what's expected, et cetera. What sort of goals do you have? Do you have short-term goals for yourself, maybe for this year, and then long-term goals in your career?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I want to try to play professional hockey, and that's obviously the ultimate goal, I think, for everybody coming into college. And short-term goal is just, keep playing consistent hockey and, keep winning games.
What do we know about the team coming in this weekend, Alaska? Have we looked at some video on them at this point? Do you know from last year how they play, et cetera? They've got a coaching change. They might be totally different.
Yeah, like you said, the coaching change is a little going to be a little different for us, but I know that they've had a tough start. Obviously, their record is, I think they're 0-7, and they've had a tough beginning of the schedule. I mean, they played a lot of teams in the top 20 this ranked this year, and I think they're going to be good. They're definitely not overlooked.
Well, it's kind of like Huntsville. They hadn't won a game either, but they were tough. That was 2 1-goal games. We won them both on the road, but they played hard.
Yeah, and, they're going to be another hard team, and obviously they're hungry. They're going to be looking for their first win, so. You gotta be ready to play on
Now,
Friday.
for you, how's the school end of things going? I don't know that you've declared a major yet, but what are you interested in, and how are things going in the classroom for you?
Great, yeah. I'm currently undecided, so I kind of just take a mix of classes just to kind of see what I like. But things have been good, and probably leaning more towards a business major here soon. But other than that, I just kind of enjoy taking classes and trying to see what I like.
Now, the Lakers, when they play at home every Thursday, have this contest called Shootout. And I saw the belt today. It's in your locker. That means you won the last shootout. So what are we looking for this Thursday? I think you might have a repeat there or what? That's a talent thing now. That's an ability. You got to score.
Yeah, no, I'm definitely try to hold on to it. Some people might think I got lucky last week, but I'm definitely gonna try and hold on to it for this week again.
Yeah, we had about 18 guys picking who might win the thing. Nobody had Rydell's number, so you might get picked by a lot of people this coming week.
I'm hoping so. I'm just gonna push some people wrong, so we'll see what happens.
Yeah, 2 weeks ago was Yuki Miura. Nobody had him either.
I know. Yeah.
How does this team get along? I mean, I think there's good chemistry here, and I've been around a lot of hockey teams over the years, and I think this is a good crew for how you all get along together in the room and out of the room when you're hanging out together, whatever, traveling. It's a good crew.
Yeah, I agree. I think we're all very close, and the freshmen coming in, really they fit in, really well with our guys that are here last year, and it just, we just there's a lot, a great culture in the locker room this year, and I think it's something that we definitely lacked a little bit last year, and it's great to come to the rink every day, and it's always great to see the guys, and it's just a joy to come to the rink.
Now, how does a sophomore fit into all this? You're not really a leadership guy like a senior or even a junior. You're kind of in the limbo there, and yet you're not a freshman either. You've been around for a while, so what do you do? Just sit there and be quiet?
No, you try to help the guys where you can. I mean, I think everybody's, friendly with everybody, and we really don't try to discriminate too much between class, and it's, which is nice, and that's another reason why it's a joy to go to the rink. You don't feel like, you're on the bottom end of the pole, or even on the top. It's, everybody gets along so well, and it's been good.
Now, how long have you lived in Greensboro, North Carolina? And how did you get playing hockey there? Is there a big hockey
Yeah, no, I grew.
community there?
Yeah, I grew up in North Carolina, and the community's small for hockey, especially in Greensboro. And obviously, Raleigh, they have the Hurricanes there. And but my dad mainly got me into hockey, and kind of just stuck with it. And I didn't really. I played a couple other sports, but hockey was just something I kind of always loved. And luckily, I was able to get scouted and make the jump to prep school, which I think really helped kind of move along my hockey career, I guess, per se. And that's but yeah, I grew up in Greensboro, and it's It was growing at one point. I think it's down a little bit, but it's a little bit of a hockey town. There's people there that really do love the game.
Are there any other players who've come out of that area who played D1?
One other kid, he's from Michigan originally, but he lived in North Carolina kind of growing up, and there's a player that was in the OHL for a little while that was from Greensboro, but not many players come out.
No, there. not out of North Carolina,
yeah,
or South Carolina, or any Carolina for that matter.
Yeah.
But let's talk a little bit about your junior career. You played in New Jersey, and I'm thinking that's Acton, and you got recruited by what? Rich Mitro brought you here, or he saw you first, or was it one of our other assistant coaches?
Yeah, Rich and Coach Witten were the main two guys on me getting recruited. But yeah, I played in New Jersey and. Really a great place to play juniors, and I loved it there. And it, you know, I have nothing but good things to say about the place. It really, they helped me develop, and I still go back in the summers and stuff like that to train, and it's been great.
Now, was Merrick's there when you were there?
Yeah, I played against Merrick's. We played each other, I think, like 6 or 7 times that season, so we kind of know each other from from that side of things.
Yeah, now you got to help Moto around that net as much as possible.
Exactly.
Yeah. And that was pretty tough on Saturday night. But, you know, Michigan's a really good team. They came in ranked 12th in the nation, and you guys did a tremendous job on Friday night. You beat a 12th-ranked team, and you got yourself a lot of votes this week in that poll, too. You're still not into the top 20, but you're real solid up in the top one-third there of the honorable mentions. So, you know, a couple wins this weekend against Alaska, and Lake Superior could break the top 20 perhaps. But, you know, it's going to be tough, but good luck this weekend.
Appreciate it. Thank you so much.
All right, Will White Rydell joining us here on the Laker Hockey Show. We're out of time for tonight. Want to thank Matt Pocket for the great job he does here, and Glover for the great food. To talk about a great buffet here again tonight. And all the fans who joined us here, thank you. Alyssa back at the station. We'll be back next Tuesday night at 6 p.m. Another Laker Hockey Show on ESPN 1400.